From 90.7 WMFE News, I'm Nicole Creston with special coverage of the launch of Space Shuttle Atlantis, the final launch of NASA's Space Shuttle program. In less than an hour before the scheduled launch time of 11:26, we'll be joining NPR's coverage at 11 as we wrap up this week of special coverage of this historic event here on 90.7. Hundreds of thousands of people are on the Space Coast for the historic event, and everything's gone smoothly with the countdown so far. But the big problem that we're looking at is the weather right now. 90.7's Judith Smeltzer is at Kennedy Space Center, and she joins us now live. Judith, how's it going out there?
Oh, hi, Nicole. Well, it's actually looking a little bit better right now. The sun is starting to come out as I look across at Atlantis on the launch pad. Even just a few minutes ago, NASA tweeted that the weather had gone green for the first time today. It's been red all day today, and now it's just gone green. Of course, what really matters is what the weather is like at launch time. There is still a very thick blanket of clouds hanging over the Kennedy Space Center, so it really just depends on whether there's a hole through that bank of clouds that NASA can go through at 11:26 when the launch is targeted.
Now, what happens if they can't launch today because of the weather or because, let's say, anything technical crops up? What happens then?
Well, especially if it's the weather, it's likely that whatever happens, actually, they probably would not try again until Sunday at this point. And that is largely because of all those hundreds of thousands of people that you just mentioned that have been driving out to the Space Coast and out to Brevard County to see this launch. The problem is that NASA workers have to be in all that traffic, too, and it's going to take them a long time to get home today. If the launch is canceled, NASA managers are just worried that they wouldn't have time to get enough rest and then turn around and come back tomorrow for a launch. So more likely than not, if they can't launch today, it's probably going to end up being Sunday. And after that, there's a little bit of a traffic problem here at Kennedy Space Center because there's a Delta rocket launch. The Air Force has a rocket launch scheduled, and that's going to prevent NASA from trying to launch again until the 16th of July. But they are in talks possibly with the Air Force that they might be able to give up Monday as well. So we'll see. But hopefully right now everybody's really, really crossing their fingers, despite the fact that there's only a 30% chance of go for launch on the weather, that they'll find a hole through the clouds.
Now, actually, this mission of Atlantis wasn't originally on the schedule, right?
Well, that is right, Nicole. In fact, the previous shuttle mission, Endeavour, was supposed to be the last shuttle flight. Atlantis was being prepared as the rescue shuttle for just in case anything happened to Endeavour during launch or any other time during the mission. Atlantis Commander Chris Ferguson and his crew would go up and rescue the Endeavour crew from the space station. But then, you know, NASA decided, well, since we're getting this all prepped for launch anyway, why don't we go ahead and fly a whole bunch of extra supplies up to the International Space Station to get it even better stocked before the shuttles stop flying. So basically, they had to come up with a plan for what to do if something went wrong with Atlantis, and that plan is that the Russian Soyuz are going to have to be the rescue spaceships for the astronauts if anything happens during this mission.
Okay, well, let's take a look at that mission, by the way. What will they actually be doing once they get up there, Judith?
Well, they have a busy schedule. They're not doing anything particularly sexy, exciting, in a way, but what they're doing is they are taking a huge load of supplies and spare parts to the International Space Station, and that's something that NASA is saying is incredibly important because the space shuttle is the only spacecraft that's big enough to be able to cart things up and down, such big loads of things up and down, and so they're going to cart a bunch of things up, they're going to take a big load of things down, including a broken ammonia pump that NASA wants to test out and see what went wrong with that, and so that's basically what they're going to be doing. There's also going to be a robotic refueling experiment going up. It's something that's going to test out ways to refuel satellites in space with a robot. So that's kind of cool. But basically, there's lots of packing and unpacking that's going to be going on during the next 12 days of the mission, assuming it gets off today.
And what's the mood today, given that the final launch could possibly happen today? What does it feel like out there?
People are really excited here, Nicole. I mean, you know, you and I have both been reporting on this over the past few weeks. People feel very connected with the shuttle program. People who work on the shuttle program, frankly, even the press who've covered the shuttle program for a long time feel very connected. And out here today, there's just a sense of anticipation. Of course, with the people who've worked on the program, there's a sense of not exactly disappointment, but a sense of bittersweet excitement, I would say, just because these people feel like they're leaving their families behind. And because, of course, most of them are going to be losing their jobs, especially the contractors, when the shuttle goes away. So I would say right now, though, everyone is focused on doing the job, getting the shuttle off safely, and hopefully getting it off on time. And so there's the excitement surrounding the regular shuttle launch, but there's also this sense of bittersweet feeling as well.
And speaking of that, how are the things looking in the countdown right now?
Well, right now we're in a built-in hold. We're at T-minus 9 minutes and holding. That's a hold that they always do, and they'll be coming out of that in just a little while. But this is just a time when NASA is able to check and see if anything last minute needs to be considered. They'll be, of course, looking at the weather very, very closely. A veteran astronaut has been flying around Kennedy Space Center in various types of aircraft, looking at the weather conditions up from that vantage point, making sure everything's okay with the launch site and also with the landing site for the shuttle, just in case anything goes wrong and the shuttle needs to turn around and make an emergency landing. So there's lots of things that need to be in alignment for this launch to go off on time, and that's exactly what they're going to be looking at before they come out of that 9-minute hold.
Okay, Judith, thank you very much. We will check in with you later. That was Judith Smeltzer from 90.7. She is out at Kennedy Space Center, along with huge crowds that have traveled to Brevard County to see the final launch. And some predictions for this crowd were as high as 1 million visitors. Now let's check in with 90.7's Mark Simpson. He's with some of those visitors on the pier at Jetty Park in Cape Canaveral. He's with us now. Mark, what's the scene like where you are?
Well, Nicole, there are a lot of people out here. I'd say thousands of people is probably a safe number to put on it, all the way at Jetty Park, reaching all the way out into the water. They're lined up down the beach all the way down to Coco. And everybody here wants to see Space Shuttle Atlantis go off successfully. I've talked to people who've come from as far away as Canada, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Virginia. Everyone is coming down for this momentous and historic occasion.
Now, why are people telling you that they're there? Are there some stories about the people? What's brought them out there?
A lot of interesting stories. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to a mother and daughter from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the daughter had gone to Krista McAuliffe Elementary School near Tulsa, and they had as their mascots the Challengers. And this girl told me that her curriculum included all kinds of shuttle-related stuff, as well as a space shuttle simulator at her elementary school. So she really felt a connection to it, never had seen a launch before, and felt this was the time to come down and see it. I also talked to another gentleman who had worked on the space shuttle's main engines in the software area, and so he had never seen a launch. And so he feels a connection to this shuttle that is getting ready to go up, see the successful conclusion of this 30-year space program. Everybody feels a connection to Atlantis. They all want to see it go up successfully and have a great launch today.
So what are you hearing about the total number of people, or what does it look like crowd-wise? Do you have wall-to-wall people, or give us a picture of that?
Where I'm standing on the jetty, I see wall-to-wall people all the way back to the Port Canaveral area. It's just a sea of people. Everyone's got their beach chairs out here. You know, there's vendors selling all kinds of different space shuttle memorabilia. I see kids running around with space shuttle toys. People are wearing the final mission hats and shirts. They really want to support NASA and see this go off successfully.
Thank you very much, Mark. We will be checking back in with you later. That's 90.7's Mark Simpson. He is live at the pier at Jetty Park in Cape Canaveral, where thousands of people are hoping to see the Space Shuttle Atlantis lift off at 11:26. You're listening to live launch coverage on 90.7 WMFE of the final Space Shuttle launch before the end of the shuttle program. I'm Nicole Creston. Now we're going to hear from some of the thousands of Central Floridians who have spent years working on the shuttle program at Kennedy Space Center. About 36 of them got together at a restaurant in Cape Canaveral recently to celebrate with a colleague who'd landed a new job.
Ivan Sanchez. I'm an aerospace engineer. We work on the rocket engines that the special uses when it gets into space.
This is Bill Street. I was a aerospace technician, worked the construction of Challenger and then Discovery and then Atlantis.
Cindy Cole. I am a technician in ground ops. I work on pieces that they pull out of the firing room. They have a problem, they swap it out, they send it to us to fix.
I was there for 8 years.
It was something I did for almost 31 years.
If I made it till September 11th, it would be 22 years. I'm not going to make 22.
Today was my last day on the shuttle space program. I did not get laid off. Of the 32 engineers, 24 were laid off, 8 were retained. I was one of the 8, but I wasn't counting on it. Nobody knew who was going to be kept or laid off, so I had begun to look already, and I was fortunate enough to get an offer.
I took a voluntary layoff in April of this year. The program coming to an end was just getting depressing, more or less, and there was a lot of people that needed to stay employed, and I felt that I was in a position that I could go ahead and take a layoff and maybe save someone's job.
I couldn't even talk about it for months without crying. Every time someone said, well, what about your job?
Try showing up to work for 2 months knowing that you're going to get laid off. You've already been given your notice. How do you keep a straight face?
I still have about 6 more years to get to Social Security age, but I'm fortunate enough that my wife has a good job. I have her to lean on.
I've gone back to school. I'm glad I did. I love it now that I'm doing it. I'm getting my bachelor's in electrical engineering. It's exciting because there's a lot of areas I can go into at this point, but it's also a little nerve-wracking because this is all I've known.
It's like a big family out there.
It's not just coworkers, it's family.
One big family.
A lot of us over the years have basically grown up together.
We've all attended each other's weddings, and they found out that they had children. And
you've watched their kids grow up. You've watched kids be born.
And I know that sounds like such a cliche, but it couldn't be more true. It really is one big, happy family.
I got to go sit in the crew cabin of Discovery last Monday, actually. Something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be there in the cockpit. And I'm touching, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm touching something that's been in outer space. I sat in the captain's chair of Discovery. You know, how many people can say that? How many people can say, I've seen pieces of the space station before it went up? I've seen history. There's not very many people that can say, I've been a part and witnessed history.
That was space shuttle worker Cindy Cole sharing her story at a recent get-together with other Kennedy Space Center veterans at a Cape Canaveral restaurant. We also heard from her former colleagues, Ivan Sanchez and Bill Street. You'll hear more stories from shuttle workers tonight at 6:30 as 90.7 presents a special program on the shuttle's retirement and its impact on the Space Coast. The scheduled liftoff time for Space Shuttle Atlantis is 11:26. We have checked in. They've entered a 45-minute hold several minutes ago, holding at T9 minutes. Right now, there are no technical concerns, and the weather is still a go for that last launch to happen at 11:26. One man who is surely feeling the pressure right now is Shuttle Launch Director Mike Leinbach. He's the one who will give the final go for launch. He sat down with 90.7's Mark Simpson on Intersection this week to talk about his thoughts on the end of the shuttle program.
So you're approaching the liftoff of Shuttle Atlantis, the 135th mission of the shuttle program. What's that going to mean for you and your team?
After the last flight of Discovery and the last flight of Endeavor, people were asking, well, what does that feel like? And it felt like another successful mission to me. The astronauts, we launched them, conducted a great mission, they landed safely. And so it was another in the 130-some missions that we pulled off. And this one will be different because there are no more. And so when we see Atlantis on the runway after mission complete, after wheel stop, that'll be the end of the program. And I'm not sure how people will react. There will still be the exhilaration and jubilation of mission complete for that particular mission. The astronauts will still get off, and they'll be happy, and there'll be handshakes, and they'll walk around the vehicle just as we always do and marvel in it, out on the runway. But then when we leave the runway, we will know there will never be another one there. And I haven't even started thinking about that yet. I haven't thought about it yet.
Do you have any idea what you might miss?
The shuttle program has... it means so much to the people that work in it. And the thing I'm going to miss the most are the people that are affected dramatically by the decision to shut the program down. Literally thousands of dedicated workers who were put in 20, 30 years are being laid off. A lot of my friends are being laid off, guys and gals I play golf with. They're all being laid off. And so for me, it's more than just retirement of the shuttle program. It's a breaking up of a family that has been together for so long. As I mentioned earlier, I get to know these people so well, I can tell by the tone of their voice if they're go or no go. It's the same thing in all systems and at all levels of this program. People have worked in this program and have dedicated their careers and their lives to it, and when it stops and people get laid off, it'll be like a family breaking up.
What's going to happen to you after the final wheel stop of Shuttle Atlantis?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm a civil servant, so I'll be employed. I'm not quite sure what I'll be doing. We have other customers that will potentially want to use some of the facilities at the Kennedy Space Center, and I'll work on some of that. But I'll be honest with you, it won't be the same as launching the shuttle. And working with this fabulous team. You know, the shuttle is an American icon. You know, anywhere in the world, if people pay attention to the news and they see the shuttle launch, they know that's America launching that shuttle. No one else does that. And now we won't either. And so to a degree, we're losing a bit of our American identity by shutting the system down.
And Mark Simpson is with us again from Jetty Park in Cape Canaveral. Mark, you spoke with Linebach at his office, which is in the Launch Control Center at Kennedy Space Center, right? Is that where he is now?
Well, he's probably not in his office. I think he's going to be down in Firing Control Room 4. Firing Room 4, that's where you see all the consoles that track the various environmental conditions, the factors that are monitoring instruments on the shuttles. That's where you see that big bay of monitors, and they run through what they call the pulse check, you know, where they go Capcom go, system go, all those systems go. Mike Linebach runs through a little test of that, and then the really big one happens at Houston. But he's going to be running around. He's been there for hours already this morning. He's put in a full day already at this point getting in for that tanking test. And he told me that, you know, he really relies on a gut check, something he learned from his predecessor, to determine whether or not the shuttle feels like it should go. He does a last-minute, second gut check to make sure everything is ready to go. And if he feels that everything is good, he lets it go ahead.
And what was it like to talk with Mike Linebach then? Is he what's his overall mood like? What is his feeling about the program?
Well, I think Linebach has two different moods. You know, he's got the launch director mood, which, of course, is very cool, calm, and collected. I asked him, you know, do you have to play a psychologist role to keep everybody calm? But everyone's so focused in the shuttle program. All the United Space Alliance workers, they're all very focused. Those men and women who are in the firing control room are extremely professional. I think Linebach is feeling a little bittersweet about the end of the program. A lot of the engineers and technical folks will tell you there's no reason to stop flying the shuttles. They're as safe as they could ever been. The airframes of the spacecraft are good to go for many more flights. So they're just carrying out the orders that have been given to them at this point in a very professional way.
And you also interviewed some of those people that are working that shuttle closeout crew. Those are the last people to see the crew before they lift off. What did you find out about those final moments?
I had the opportunity to talk to Renee Arians, who's on the closeout crew for many of the shuttle missions. And the thing that I thought was so interesting is you see the astronauts as the face of the space program, but there's really so many people behind the scenes, and Renee Arians and that closeout crew is one of the most important links. They're the guys that are strapping in the astronauts as they're getting ready for that liftoff into space. He told me they really get to know the astronauts pretty well. He told me he knew the astronauts very well that were on Shuttle Columbia, and that affected him greatly when that shuttle was lost. But he also had good memories of time strapping folks in. He told me about bumping around. That shuttle cockpit's small, and when you strap the astronauts in, he told me he's knocked glasses off astronauts before and kind of elbowed him in the face, and they'd say, oh, sorry. And, you know, there is a close and personal relationship between the astronauts and all of that support staff that the public generally doesn't see, but it's there, and certainly the members of that shuttle team know how important each one of them is to getting the spacecraft off successfully.
That sounds like a close relationship, figuratively and literally, Mark. And speaking of that, you have been inside the cockpit yourself of one of the shuttles, right? What did you find it to be like in there?
Boy, one of the coolest things that I've ever been able to do is to go inside Space Shuttle Discovery and walk around it. You know, we always think of the shuttle looking so majestic out on the launch pad or moving down to the launch pad. But when it's inside those buildings, in the hangars and the vehicle assembly building, it's covered up by all these catwalks and decks that allow the workers to get access to it. So you walk in, and you don't even realize that you're actually standing underneath the space shuttle, and that is essentially the ceiling of the building. The heat shield, you look up, that is what you're seeing. You don't see the whole shuttle entirely. You climb up a number of decks, and you go through this thing called the white room, where you have to put on special booties, make sure you don't leave any tracks or scuff up anything inside, and you slide in through an airlock, and you get into the cockpit of the shuttle, and man, that thing is so tiny. They have to wedge the astronauts in to those seats when they get them ready for liftoff. Of course, even though it looks uncomfortable, remember, they're only on a 10-minute ride into orbit, and then those chairs actually come right out, and they can kind of move around in the cockpit. It's very tiny, though, very tiny. And in the cockpit as well, if at the back side of it, there's a porthole that allows you to look into the cargo bay. There's the joystick that moves the robot arm of the shuttle, and so it was just fascinating to be able to be inside that very important control room for the shuttle.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you, Mark. That's 90.7's Mark Simpson at Jetty Park in Cape Canaveral. You've been listening to live special coverage from 90.7 WMFE. I'm Nicole Creston. Stay with us as we now go to NPR for team coverage of the launch of Shuttle Atlantis. This is 90.7 WMFE FM, Orlando.